How's everyone doing today? Well, hey, I am so glad that you are here this morning. This is week 7 of Proverbs. We've been going through the book of Proverbs now for a couple of weeks and mining it for its wisdom. Today, our sermon is titled, Taking Hold of the Tree of Life. Let me show you what I mean by that. Let's begin with, we'll start here. A little information about Proverbs. And some of this we've covered before, but in case you need a reminder, the scope of Proverbs, it's not so much about life after death. So life after death lies beyond the horizon of Proverbs. There's other passages in the Bible, obviously, that talk about life after death. But for Proverbs, Proverbs is all about life now. How do we acquire wisdom for this life that we are living, for our current existence? Proverbs is concerned with the qualitative aspect of life. In other words, what is the quality of the life that you are experiencing now? For Proverbs, there's two ways in which you can be experiencing life. You can be experiencing life, like the fullness of life, which Proverbs says you can attain through wisdom. So if you follow wisdom, if you follow the advice of Proverbs, then you will live a life of abundance, of joy, of satisfaction. You will be, in essence, alive and thriving. But on the other hand, if you choose to neglect wisdom instead of life, you will be experiencing death. So you'll be alive, you'll be breathing, you can talk with people, you can interact and do all the things that a live person would do, but in reality, the quality of your life, it's as if you're dying. You're not experiencing the fullness that wisdom can offer you. So here's Proverbs 3, starting in verse 16. Long life is in her, speaking about wisdom, long life is in wisdom's right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Who's ready to sign up for this? Who's ready to take up this invitation that wisdom offers? Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold. Another way to translate this, wisdom is a tree of life to all those who grasp onto her. Those who hold wisdom fast will be blessed. I'll give you an example of this. Every single night before I go to bed, I check on my daughter. She's 3. I make sure that she's still breathing. And then after that, normally, she's a thrasher, so she goes to sleep. We close the door. She has her little music that she gets to listen to when she goes to bed. We go in there after she has fallen asleep. The blankets are all over the place. She's turned sideways. She's still in a crib, so she's turned sideways in her crib. Every now and again, her feet are through the bars. So we kind of pick her up. We turn her around. We place her. She's got a little pillow. We place her head on the pillow, and then we put the blanket on top of her. Well, this week, I went in after she fell asleep. There was no thrashing. Instead, there she was, breathing peacefully, lying there, head was still on the pillow, the blanket was over her, and what do you think was right there, cuddled up in her arms? The answer is behind me, in case you're wondering. She has a favorite bunny rabbit. She loves this bunny rabbit. There she is, peacefully sleeping, no thrashing, holding fast to this bunny rabbit. She's at peace. She wasn't moving all around at all. She just put herself right to sleep, and right there in her arms was her favorite stuffed animal that helped her fall asleep. This is what it looks like to grasp onto the tree of life. Those who hold on to the tree of life, those who hold on to that tree while you're sleeping, you will not thrash. You will breathe peacefully. If you hold on to the tree of life, what you will find is health and vitality. This is what the tree of life represents in Proverbs. Good health, vitality, life. The type of life where you truly feel alive. And if you're like me, you've probably experienced both before, where you're alive and you've really felt alive. You know those feelings? Like, oh my goodness, like everything just feels a little more vibrant. The colors pop a little more. Each breath is a little bit deeper. There's a little bounce to your step. But then you've been alive, but it's almost as if you're like the Walking Dead, where it just feels like there's so many weights on your shoulder. You're alive, you're breathing, you're going through the motions, but the vibrancy that you felt in other periods, it's gone. And it's like there's this shallow existence that you're living. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced, am I the only one? For Proverbs, right in the beginning of this book, wisdom, it's like a tree of life. If you hold on to wisdom, you shall be fully alive. At the heart of Proverbs, then, this raises a few questions for us. What do you cling to in life? If wisdom is saying, grab onto the tree of life, because if you find it, if you grasp it, if you hold onto it tightly, then you will gain all that wisdom promises. So one of the questions this raises is, well then, what is it that you are clinging to in life? Think about that bunny rabbit. Where do you find your security in life? Beginning of Proverbs, wisdom is saying, hey, find your security in me. Find your security in wisdom. Another way of saying this, another question, where do you place your trust? The entire 31 chapters of Proverbs are saying, place your trust in wisdom. And if you choose to live this way, if you accept this invitation, if you place your trust in wisdom, here's what you will gain. Longevity. In her right hand, in wisdom's right hand, is long life. Yeah, you'll live to like 130. Sound good? All right, I guess you guys aren't on board with that. In her other hand, she's offering riches. And if you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll know that some of these riches, they're material. But then there's the non-material riches of life as well, which sometimes can be even better than the material riches. Living with a sense of peace. I mean, how much would we pay if we were to walk every step with a giant sense of peace hovering over us? I mean, these are the non-material riches: peace, comfort, love, healthy relationships. One of my favorites, good sleep. If you follow wisdom, you shall gain honor because you will be a person of character. Others will look to you about that. There's someone who is trustworthy. There's someone who is honorable. And those are the people that I want to spend my time with. If someone is deceitful, chances are you're probably not going to want to spend as much time around them. You're not going to hire them. They're not going to be your close friends. So wisdom offers honor. You shall be a person of good, reputable character. Her ways are pleasant. Another way of saying this, her ways are light. Who said this a couple thousand years after Proverbs? Jesus. My teachings are light. Yeah, my burdens, they're not there. Hand me all your burdens, for my ways, my teachings, they're light. My ways are pleasant. Wisdom offers the path to peace, as we looked at last week. And then for those who hold on to the tree of life, you shall be living the blessed life, the fortunate life. Think about Jesus teaching on the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who. Wisdom comes in before Jesus. Jesus fulfills the teachings of wisdom. If you hold on to the tree of life, you'll be blessed. You'll be living this fortunate life. You will feel alive every step that you take. But if you turn your back on wisdom, we looked at this passage the second week of our Proverbs series, so a little reminder for us. The invitation to Lady Folly's banquet. Little do they know, those who choose to turn their backs on wisdom and who follow the path of folly, little do they know that the dead are at her table. If you choose the path of folly, it's like you're sitting at a table with the dead. Her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. I love that imagery. We looked at this passage a few weeks back. There's one invitation. There's one banquet being offered by wisdom, which is where you find life and peace and all the good things that we desire in life. But if you don't choose to go down that path, the other banquet is the banquet of Lady Folly. And all those who sit at her table experience a type of death. Then a few weeks back, we had this sermon, Wisdom from the Beginning of Time. One of the claims that wisdom makes in the book of Proverbs is that God uses wisdom. And without wisdom, there is no creation. So wisdom aligns with the flow of the universe. One of the main ideas of Proverbs then is Proverbs is saying, well, of course, wisdom would be a source of life. If God uses wisdom, and now you're being offered this same wisdom, well, we equate God with life and all the good things about life, grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. So if God used wisdom to create, and if wisdom is swirling all around us, and without wisdom, if there's no creation, well, then if we grab a hold of wisdom, well, of course it would make sense then that our lives would feel in sync with the type of life that God desires for us. The type of life that you truly desire, the type of life that just simply aligns with this entire universe that we are living in. So if we're in sync with wisdom, we find life. But if we are out of sync with wisdom, we find turmoil, disease. Things become a bit more chaotic than they are intended to be. Today, I want to offer three examples then of how ancient Proverbs wisdom leads us to the tree of life. Who's on board this morning? Who wants to find health and vitality and longevity to live to 135? Let's look at this verse. We looked at this one last week, Proverbs 25:9. Have your quarrel with your neighbor. So much wisdom right here. Have your quarrel with your neighbor. But do not reveal another secret. Here's what I think this verse is telling us. Don't repress or suppress how you are feeling. Notice, what's the wisdom? What's the invitation? Have your quarrel with your neighbor. Yeah, have your quarrel. Stand up for yourself. You've been wronged in a certain way. Make your voice heard. Speak what's on your mind. Tell your neighbor how you feel. The wisdom of Proverbs here is not to repress or suppress. Don't stuff things down. Have your quarrel. Find a healthy outlet for all that you are experiencing and feeling in life. I read this book a couple of months ago, and this book absolutely blew my mind. Oh my goodness. It's called The Myth of Normal by Gabor Mate. He was, for over 20 years, he was a family physician. He's an MD. He was a family physician in Vancouver, Canada. He came out with this book last year, subtitled Trauma, Illness, and Healing in a Toxic Culture. One of the main ideas of this book is that there is a strong correlation between anger repression. Now, repression is unconscious. So repression is when you push things down and you're not necessarily aware that you're doing it. And we all do this. So there's a strong correlation between repression and anger suppression. Now, suppression is when you know that you're doing this. So someone does something to you, you become angered by it, and you don't actually want to address it, so you stuff it down. We all do this as well. We do this consciously, we do this unconsciously, where we push things down. And what his argument is in the book, and he gives example after example of this, is that there is this link between pushing things down, stuffing it down, and disease. And he, in the book, study after study after study, how when we push our emotions down, our body reacts. Have your quarrel with your neighbor. Don't simply stuff it down. Because what it does, it increases your stress levels because it activates your fight and flight response. So now your cortisol, your stress response in your body is spiked, and now you're living constantly, which makes you way more reactive, but it does harm to your body because it increases inflammation and it lowers your immune system. Study after study about how this happens in your body. When you take the emotions that you're feeling and instead of finding a healthy outlet for them, instead of addressing them, processing them, you push them down, it correlates with disease. Our body begins to react because our body is then split. I put it this way. You are now going against what you know you must do. You ever been here before? Something bothers you. Someone says something. Someone does something to you. And you know that you have to respond. You know you have to address it. But you know it could get really, really messy. You don't know what might happen. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. And so instead of actually addressing it in a way which could bring reconciliation or in a way in which could bring some peace to you, you push it down. But then you're walking around and you keep thinking about it. And then someone does something to you and you lash out at them in a really extreme way because you're really angry about what happened with this person, but now you start taking it out on them over there. Your body, all these negative effects within you. And here's what he says about certain personality traits that he has seen of people who come in to see him who have some form of sickness. There's an automatic and compulsive concern for the emotional needs of others while ignoring one's own. Yeah, showing care and concern for everyone else but neglecting your own needs. What about this one? Repression of healthy, self-protective aggression and anger. Harboring and compulsively acting out two beliefs. I am responsible for how other people feel, and I must never disappoint anyone. You ever find yourself here? I've been here. Can't let anyone down. I don't have it in my tank, but you know what? I can't let them down, so I have to keep on going. He says this is a sign of boundary violation. We know our boundaries, but we allow our boundaries to be violated. Which then leads to another proverb, another word of wisdom for us. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A longing or a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Love this proverb. Second part, a longing or a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Here's my interpretation of this proverb. This is the Dave translation. You can't always put everyone else's needs above your own. I have learned this one the hard way. A couple years back, I noticed that I was living with all of this building anger and resentment. And I was trying to process through it, trying to figure out, okay, well, why is this here? What does it mean? What is it speaking to me? I started talking to one of my mentors about this. I told him about what I was going through. And here's how he responded to me. He wrote this back in an email. He said, you're probably most angry with yourself for not having better boundaries. And as soon as he said it, I was like, oh my goodness, he is right. He's right. I'm not, yeah, it's showing up as anger towards directed at other people, but it's actually anger at myself. I was simply deflecting it. It was anger at myself because I wasn't saying no. I was showing care and concern for everyone else, but I wasn't actually caring for myself. And it just, instead of the life that the tree of life is promising, the life that Proverbs promises, it's like I was walking dead. I was sitting at the table with all those who were already in the realm of death. I was like, yeah, I'm mad at myself. And instead of forgiving myself, and instead of learning to create healthier and better boundaries, it was simply that anger was being directed outward. But it was really an inner anger that I had to learn to deal with myself and to put up better boundaries. Here's another book. We're talking about disease. How to Make Disease Disappear by Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. Love this book as well. Read this one a couple of years ago. And what he offers in this book are these different pillars, different ways in which to make disease disappear. Guess what the first pillar is? Every day, for at least 15 minutes, be selfish and enjoy some time for you. This wisdom has helped me tremendously. And here's his criteria for living this out. This needs to be for you and for you alone. This is time for yourself. He also says no screens. So 15 minutes for yourself is not scrolling through Instagram. It might feel like time for ourselves, but that just brings up a whole host of other issues that we can talk about in another sermon. Time for you, you alone, no screens, and no guilt about it. This is for you. This is for you. And then he gives a chart here. Here's a couple different activities. Having a bath, playing music, going for a walk, gardening, sitting in a cafe, having a drink, painting, dancing, cooking, reading a magazine, sitting on a park bench, relaxing. I mean, when's the last time you just sat on a park bench with nothing to do? And you weren't staring at your phone. I mean, I walked through, everyone's on the park bench. Everyone is glued to their phones. No screens. 15 minutes of yoga, tai chi, singing. I know some of you enjoy just belting out the latest Ariana Grande. Relaxing at home, whatever you, this is 15 minutes for you and you alone, whenever you can get that time. How do we make disease disappear? According to this doctor, the first way that you do this is you take time for yourself. You take time for that which fills your soul. The question that this proverb brings up is a question that I try to ask myself every single day. What do I need right now? What do I need for this day? Sometimes the question I ask is, what do I need in this moment? I find myself getting angry. I find a particular emotion rising up within me. And instead of just reacting out, I try to pause a little bit and then take a step back and ask myself, okay, what do I need in this moment? Do I need a couple of minutes? Do I need to get onto that park bench? And this is the self-reflective component of Proverbs. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Proverbs has these, sometimes they're looked at as conflicting proverbs, conflicting wisdom. It's a chance for us to look into ourselves and ask, well, what do I need right now in this season, in this moment? Proverbs, yes, it tells us how. It gives us wisdom about how to live our lives, but it wants to empower us to make wise choices. So a longing fulfilled, a desire fulfilled, it's like a tree of life. What do you need right now? What do you need in this day? What do you need in this moment? What do you need in the season of life that you find yourself in? Because seasons change. And sometimes the thing that you needed yesterday, it's no longer the thing that you need today. And what you need today, well, my guess is it's not what you're going to need 5 years from now. So Proverbs is continually inviting us to ask ourselves, okay, what are these longings, these desires, and how do I begin to step into them? Because if we don't, if we always put everyone else's needs ahead of our own, here's what it leads to: anger, depression, reactivity, lifelessness, we could say anxiety. According to the first book, The Myth of Normal can lead to disease within us when we're always looking out for everyone else but not taking care of our own souls. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing, a desire, 15 minutes for yourself selfishly every single day, it's like a tree of life, providing health and vitality for you. Let's look at our third proverb of the day. This is Proverbs 14:30. This one, man, this one. I mean, the hits just keep on coming. I don't even know how we can do one more week of Proverbs. I feel like we just got started with Proverbs. Yet here we are, we're at the end of it already. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy or jealousy rots the bones. It's a good one. This one's been around for thousands of years. Yeah, jealousy, it's a human emotion that's been there from the beginning. We are not the only ones who compare ourselves to others. We're not the only ones who look around at what everyone else has and wishes that we had the thing that they had. It's been going on from the beginning of humanity. This one's all about looking at someone else's life and comparing. I'll tell you a story based off of this photograph. Can anyone remember, anyone have any idea what this is a picture of? This is the first COVID sermon that I did, the first online sermon, Lord's Prayer and the Coronavirus. Now, this is a picture from the Sunday morning in which I recorded this video. And I remember the week leading up to this, we had decided that we were going to cancel church and I had to record a video because we were going to move everything online. Now, I spent the entire day, I had the sermon written. I had to rework a couple of things to make it relevant to what we were going through. I spent the entire Saturday, the day before this, in my office, a couple hours at home, trying to record this sermon. Must have been about 10, 11, 12 takes. None of the takes were good enough for me. I was putting all this pressure on myself. Okay, I need to have the perfect sermon right now. And not only do I need to have the perfect sermon, I need to have the perfect camera angle. The editing has to be perfect because there were other pastors that I knew and they had a whole video team. And their sermons were like, I mean, these were like Oscar award-winning sermons. We didn't even own this camera at this point. I was using my laptop and I showed a couple of videos to my friend one time and he's this like tech guru guy. And he's like, hey, it looks like you're recording your sermons on a laptop. I'm like, yeah, I am. He's like, dude, do yourself a favor and just go buy a real camera. 11, 12, 13, literally the entire day on Saturday leading up to this first sermon. And I didn't finish it. I went to bed. I was angry. I was upset. I was comparing myself to all these other sermons and these perfected, glorious sermons where the skies were opening up and everyone's going to be like, oh my goodness, best sermons ever. And then I had this little damaged bird of a sermon that I was trying to make fly and it wasn't working. I went to bed. I said, all right, I'm going to try it again in the morning. Normally that's worked pretty well for me. If something isn't working, I'll give it a try first thing in the morning. I wake up on Sunday morning and I can't even move my neck. It was my body responding to all this stress that I was putting myself through. I was comparing myself. I was trying to be like everyone else. I had to lie on the floor. I got these heating pads. I think my parents were over trying to like watch the kids in the other room. And I was trying to massage this thing out. Finally, I felt good enough to, and I should probably actually go back and watch this video. I probably look really stiff. Eventually, I got to a point where I could lift my body up enough. I mean, I couldn't even lift my head. It was that bad. And I could just plop myself down at the table. And finally, I recorded this sermon. Now, you have no idea. Like, you had no idea about the backstory to this sermon. You had no idea. On the sermon, I'm smiling. Everything is great. We didn't like the fact that we were in lockdown, that we couldn't go anywhere, but hey, at least I'm happy. I'm doing well. Everything is great. Family life is great. The kids are great. Meanwhile, the kids are in the other room screaming. I can't even turn my neck. Jealousy, comparing ourselves to others, it rots your bones. It does harm to your body. Here's Jesus in Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up whose cross? Their cross. Not his cross. Not her cross. Not that Instagram influencer's cross that you see who has the perfect videos. That person who seems to have the perfect life. Oh, if I could just have their cross, well, then following Jesus would be easy. If I could just take his cross, well, then my life would feel a whole lot easier. Here's Jesus' wisdom, his invitation. Whoever wants to be my disciple, you have to pick up your own cross. You carry the cross that is before you, not anyone else's cross. Because if you were to try to pick up someone else's cross, it wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't be you. You each have your own individual and unique cross to carry. The true life, the life that you desire to live, is found by picking up your cross. Not grabbing someone else's, but taking your cross and carrying that one. The 10th commandment in Exodus, well, question, what is your cross? Reflective question for the week. What's your cross to carry? Here's the 10th commandment in Exodus. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant. Don't covet his ox or donkey, which I know some of you are prone to do, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. One of the ancient Jewish rabbis had this to say about this commandment. 10th commandment is a gift. It's a gift. Because when you're living your true, authentic life, you're not looking around at everyone else because you are at peace with where you are. Yeah, it's a gift. This one's a gift. You're at peace. What was that? What was that proverb? A heart at peace gives life to the body. When you're walking your true, authentic path, produces peace within your heart, which is what you want. When we look around and we compare and try to be like someone else or try to pick up someone else's cross, it rots your bones, steals your peace, removes your joy, leads you away from the life of vibrancy and fullness that you desire. And you find yourself with others sitting at the table of Lady Folly. So if you find yourself comparing, here's what I've learned. It's a signal that something is off. When I find myself comparing who I am to other people, when I start looking around, it's a sign for me to now look inward. Okay, what's off? A few questions that I ask. Okay, what do I need to step into? What am I not stepping into right now and I need to? What am I not living out? What do I need to pick up? Or what do I need to let go of? Am I trying to hold on to something that isn't mine? I need to let go of it. Because by letting go, well, then I'll find the path to peace. I'll find the peace within my heart. Another question from what we've been looking at, what boundaries do I need to keep? What boundaries are taking me away from the true me, the truest self that God has birthed me to be? Long life, longevity, 135 years, is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand are riches, material, non-material, and honor. A reputable character. Her ways are light. They're pleasant. They're a joy to walk. All of her paths are peace. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold on to her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. May you follow the path of wisdom. May you cling to wisdom as your security. May you hold fast to her. Seek her out each step you take. And as you follow the path of wisdom that is before you, the path that Jesus offers for you, may you come to discover the blessed life. A life of peace, a life of good character, and may you come to find a health, a vitality, and a fullness for your soul. Amen.